Our next presenter is Dr. Erin Carlson. She is Assistant Professor in the Department of Health Management and Policy at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, School of Public Health. Her research interests include access to primary care among immigrant populations, disease prevention and among underserved populations, and tuberculosis prevention and control measures in the U.S. and abroad. Please welcome Erin.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to get to be with you today, and I thank the Latino Caucus for the opportunity to present our research today. Really more than research, really our intervention and what we've learned about the impact that promotores de salud can have on our community. I have no relationships to disclose. So I want to talk to you about our intervention, our program, which is Diabetes Salud. We've done it now in Tarrant County, Texas. Tarrant County is comprised of Fort Worth, Texas, and Arlington, Texas. It's about a 1.8 million person population in that area. There is very limited access to care for those without health insurance who live in North Texas. We have a small network of community health centers. We're growing. That or our county hospital really are the only real choices that you have. So this program really serves a need that we have in our community. The goal of our program is to improve access to quality diabetes care and outcomes for the uninsured and underinsured, with a specific focus among our Latino community. The keywords there are quality and outcomes. We have great partners in this. The United Way has provided our funding for this program in Tarrant County, and we have implemented the program at our local community health center, at our main clinic for our federally qualified health center. The model there that you see to the right, that is the conceptual model that drives drove the inception of this program. What it is it's Wagner's model that suggests that in order to make real change in somebody's ability to manage their chronic disease, clinical systems may need to change. Sometimes there are barriers in someone's life that make it impossible for them to do other than what they are doing, and in that case, we have to change our clinical systems. Easier said than done. We all know if you've been in a clinic, if you've worked in a clinic, it can be very difficult to change those processes that work within your clinic. But sometimes if you do that, then what happens is you change outcomes for that individual and you make it possible for them to manage their own disease. The other key piece of this model is in the upper left-hand side. In the green, you see self-management support. And so it's the idea that the self-management support from our promotora de salud, from our diabetes health educator, increases the patient's confidence and skills so they can be their own manager of their chronic disease. So a little overview of La Diabetes Salud is the education is delivered by a diabetes health promoter. We currently have 2.5 promotores who are working for us, working with the program, two full-time, of course, one half-time. They are trained and have worked previously as medical assistants, and they all are state-certified community health workers. They deliver a curriculum. They deliver a curriculum that's based on the American Diabetes Association curriculum, and it consists of seven visits of education. But the thing that's different about this program is it doesn't stop with the seven visits. Every patient in the program is enrolled indefinitely, as long as they want to go. The program is there for the rest of their lives, which we hope it is. We hope this becomes a sustainable program, becomes a permanent fixture in our community health center. They can keep going for the rest of their lives. That's what we're hoping for. So there is no end to the program. The first seven visits, however, consist of a very defined educational curriculum that is individualized, though, for the patient's own barriers, challenges, strengths, and that type of thing. It's all one-on-one. There is only the patient and the diabetes health promoter in that room together working on this at each of the visits. The first three visits are held every month, and they're about 60 to 90 minutes long, and then the rest of the visits going forward are held quarterly. It's an aggressive program in that there's aggressive outreach. Every time the community health center gets another diabetes diagnosis, that goes to our promotor, who makes the phone call to try to recruit those persons to come into the program. And it continues to be aggressive to get the patients to their appointments, to set behavioral goals with them, and to work within what they need to be able to set those goals and meet those goals. There's a very close monitoring of clinical outcomes at each visit. The patient's hemoglobin A1C is taken, the blood sugar is taken, and then other certain measures are taken at each of certain visits at certain times. For instance, visit 3 will take a waist circumference. Visit 1, visit 3, there's a waist circumference. There's a BMI. So different measures at different times are taken. The continuous tracking of hemoglobin A1C and blood sugar. They develop a very close relationship with the community health worker, with a promotores de salud. But what's interesting is the person makes these changes, and this relationship helps that. But what you don't see happening is the person changing for the promotor. It hasn't been that way. It's really the person has been motivated and feels confident, the patient feels confident to manage their disease. So now they're taking care of it. They're feeling better. Physically, they're feeling better. So that has been the incentive. I kept saying, what is the incentive you're offering these patients? Why are they making these changes? And Martin, one of our promotores, kept saying, they don't need a big screen TV. There's no Walmart gift card here. It's about feeling good. And if I can make them take that leap of faith to make these changes, they're going to physically feel better, and that's going to be their incentive to keep doing this and make these changes for their lives. We do collect all of our data and keep it in DiaWeb, which is a web-based diabetes electronic health record. So a little bit about the Diabetes Salud participants. It was implemented in Fort Worth, Texas in April 2011. We have a total of 544 participants to date. It is not limited to those who are patients in the community health center. It's open to anyone in our county. But most of our participants are from our community health center. That's the participant demographics, about three-quarters female. Most of our participants, vast majority, are white Hispanic, since we are targeting the Latino community with this intervention. We do have several, though, non-Hispanic whites and non-Hispanic African Americans who have also chosen to participate. Most of our participants do have less than a high school education. About two-thirds of them are employed, and about two-thirds have uncontrolled diabetes when they enter the program. A little bit about the average baseline hemoglobin A1C. For those of you who don't work in diabetes, what we're shooting for with the A1C is controlled diabetes would be if it's below 7. You're shooting for below 7. So when you get above 7, you know, that's something you want to get under control. When you get above 9, you really want to get that under control. So that's what we're looking at there. About a third of our participants come into it very early stages, and they're already under 7. A third we're trying to get from going higher, trying to get that down under 7, and another third are very, very high when they enter the program above 9. So that's at 3 months. There's a little bit of a change that we are already seeing. We're seeing a change in the hemoglobin A1C, a decrease of almost 10%. Not so much of a change in weight that early in the program. The changes in weight tend to happen a little bit longer into the program, where we see a little bit more of a weight loss. There are some changes you can see at enrollment and at 6 months, the changes that we've seen in some of our in our patient population here and our participants. We start at 80% are already doing foot exams. That's excellent, but now we're up to 90% at 6 months. Physical activity, two-thirds at the end of 6 months are now participating in physical activity. And meal plan is, I think, probably one of the more interesting findings. Nobody is following any kind of a meal plan when they enter this program or watching their diet. At 6 months, we've got 45% who are really engaging in the meal plan. So I think that is very interesting and encouraging. So these are a little bit, these are some of the surveys. These survey assessments are given to patients so in their first visit and then at certain subsequent follow-up visits, so we can monitor how their perceived competency is in managing their diabetes, what their perceived knowledge is, their ability to take care of their disease. So this is one way that it's done, and our promotores administer these as well when they're doing all of the clinical checks and the education, everything. This is one of the things that they're also doing with the participants, is administering the surveys. So one of the diabetes knowledge assessment, which basically measures how much a patient knows about what is happening in their body with diabetes, their ability to identify symptoms of low blood sugar, of high blood sugar, and the damage, the understanding of the damage that can be caused by diabetes. So that's the first one. We see about a 12% change at the 3-month follow-up, a 12% increase in the diabetes knowledge. Another one is the perceived competence in managing diabetes, which is a very simple 4-question survey, and we see a 20% change, and that measures really how confident one feels that they are able to manage their disease. Now we shift gears a little bit, and what we've done with this is our PI could not be here today, so I'm presenting on her behalf, Dr. Elizabeth Trevino, who has created this program and has championed it. And we want to make sure this is a sustainable program. It's not fair to go into a community and then take this away. We want this to be there. But as we all know right now with funding, funding is tight. It's more and more difficult to get NIH funding. It's more and more difficult. The CDC budget is even shrinking, and even our community partners, their budgets are shrinking, to be sure. So it's no longer enough to go into a funding organization with good outcomes data. We all have good empirical data. We're looking at outcomes. Now, another important piece of this is cost effectiveness. Is this cost effective? And that's one of the modes we're in right now with the continuing increase in healthcare costs. So we wanted to see, is this program cost effective? Can we go to our funders with this? So we had to find a good way to model this and measure it. And what we decided to do is use Archimedes. Archimedes allowed us to model both the outcomes over long term, what we could expect to see over 5, 10, 20 plus years, and also to model the cost effectiveness of the program. So Archimedes is a model of human physiology, individuals, populations, and healthcare utilization. The model simulates disease progression and how people interact with the healthcare system. It can also model how an intervention would affect how someone interacts with the healthcare system or what would happen within one's own body. And we can talk, if you have questions at the end, we can talk more about this. But I just wanted to give you a brief overview so you understood that what we were using to model these was a valid means to do so. Archimedes creates a set of trajectories for a population of simulated, what they're called agents, but really they represent individuals. And they statistically match the trajectories of the population of real people. So it's a very complex and interesting program. So Archimedes can then be used to calculate health outcomes, to calculate healthcare costs, program effectiveness, individual risk, all of these things. If any of you are familiar with Diabetes PhD, which is an online diabetes risk assessment calculator, this is the model that drives Diabetes PhD. This has been validated by over 50 clinical trials at this point, and it also has been modeled against 40 independent trials with a correlation coefficient of 96. So in our Archimedes simulation to model this, the model was based on 10,000 simulated adults, similar in demographics, similar in health characteristics to the Diabetes Salud population participants. We estimated when we ran the model that the cost per participant was $1 a day. Now, the average cost for a community-based diabetes prevention program is $2.12 a day. We knew ours was considerably lower. What we have since found out is the actual per person per day cost of our program is 58 cents a day. So it's well below average, but we still stuck with $1 a day because we wanted to be conservative when we presented this. So the control group participants includes those with hemoglobin A1C greater than 7 who are receiving the usual care. The usual care meaning the usual medical care that you would receive. This will be compared to, of course, the interventional group, which is receiving the usual medical care, as well as the intervention. So we know that in our population for the participants in Diabetes Salud, that we can expect about 50% of our participants to reduce their hemoglobin A1C to below 7 and keep it there while they're in the program. We also did some subpopulations with this analysis as well. So here's what we found. If you look here, what this does is, well, we had 10,000 persons in the simulation. We scaled this to 100 for the purpose of readily understanding and seeing the results. So if everyone gets the usual care in the control group, which is your A1C is greater than 7, then this is what you can expect out of 100 people over 20 years. You can expect 18 of them to have a foot amputation event, 18 of them to have an acute MI, a heart attack, 10 to have a stroke, 28 to die, et cetera, et cetera. Now the difference is you go to the next line down, and that's what happens if the intervention, if our intervention with our promotores, Diabetes Salud, happens with this population. Then, in the population with the intervention, with our promotores, we can expect that there will be almost 3 fewer foot amputations, 1.61 fewer heart attacks, and almost 1 less end-stage renal disease event out of 100 if they were to have our community health worker intervention. Something else that's interesting is we found a real big difference when you look at the subpopulation of those who entered the program who had a hemoglobin A1C above 9, who had truly uncontrolled diabetes. That's where you see, so the next one down, you see the control group of having a hemoglobin A1C greater than 9, and that is the group that is receiving the usual medical care with no intervention. We can expect 9 foot amputation events, and that's out of, instead of 100, out of 27 persons. We can expect about 7 heart attacks, almost 4 strokes, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when we do the intervention for that group, which is the next line down, the fourth line, we see that we have reduced. There are 2 fewer foot amputation events out of 27 persons. There's 1 fewer heart attack, et cetera, et cetera. So we really see that that's a pretty significant difference out of that group. So in summary, we can say that over the long term, Diabetes Salud can make a significant difference in preventing diabetes complications and improving outcomes, and the Archimedes model, thank you, allows us to see that over the long term. Even though we haven't had this intervention for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, we can make some projections using this. Now we get into the money. We all want to think that we can go to our funders and say, let's do this because it's the right thing to do, because we know it is, but it really helps to have some dollar signs, because that's what policymakers and a lot of funding organizations are thinking about. So what we found, and we were pleasantly surprised to know this, that our intervention, you can see the second line down, that represents what happens with the second red line when we have the Diabetes Salud intervention delivered by our promotores. It costs an additional $30,000 per person, and that's in addition to the usual medical care they would receive over 20 years. Well, it sounds like a lot of money. But what that comes down to is an additional $8,000 per quality-adjusted life year that is gained. We gain 3.74 additional quality years of life for the cost of $8,000 a year. What is considered cost-effective in health economics is anything under $50,000 per quality-adjusted life year gained is cost-effective. So this is very cost-effective. $8,000 is a lot less than $50,000. So we have a very cost-effective program here. Again, this was based on the program cost of $1 a day, which is actually 42 cents more than it actually costs us to deliver the program. The other thing that was very interesting we found was that it wasn't only cost-effective, but it was actually in certain subpopulations cost-saving to deliver this promotor intervention. We had our hemoglobin A1C reduced to 7 in the population that entered with their A1C above 9, and now you're looking at it doesn't cost us anything. It actually saves medical costs in the long run. The same thing with the group that is age over 65. And a quality-adjusted life year, if you're not familiar with that term, if you live 1 year of perfect, healthy life, that has a value of 1. If you die during that year, it's a value of 0. If you get sick or if you have an amputation or if you have a disease, then it's somewhere between 1 and 0. How medical interventions are measured as far as the value they can deliver to the public is by the quality-adjusted life years that you will gain, the quality life years you gain by this intervention. So that's what this is. It's not just a year of life, but it's a year of quality life. So to summarize here, the structure of our program led by our promotores de salud helps participants to achieve their behavioral goals by individualizing this process. It helps them to reduce their barriers to being able to achieve their goals, and it has been, we've shown in the modeling that it can significantly reduce long-term diabetes complications. It's shown to be cost-effective, and here's some things that we have to continue to work on that are continued challenges, is making sure that we continue to, with our promotores de salud, connect to the community resources that can get our participants the help they need. It's not about saying you need an eye exam once a year, saying you need a dental exam once a year, but what our promotores do is they work very hard to actually connect that person with the resources, not give them a phone number, but say, here's the parking lot, here's the time and date that this organization will be here to give you an eye exam. How are we going to get you there? What are your barriers? Let's work through these to figure out how you can be there to take advantage of these community resources. So it is a very laborious process at times. We need to continue to provide that and work through these barriers with our patients. And like I said, the incentive is simply helping the patients to get that leap of faith to do it, and then they feel better already, and that is their incentive to know they can take care of their family and have the health to do so. So we thank you very much for your participation today, and we wait for your questions.